I want to talk this morning about the promise of God, of Emmanuel, God with us. In Isaiah chapter 7, beginning with verse 10, we find where the prophet has gone to the king Ahaz, and the word of the Lord is speaking to him. Verse 10 says, "Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, 'Ask for a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above.' But Ahaz says, 'I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord.' Then he said, 'Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing that you weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.'" Emmanuel, God with us. God has promised to send a Messiah. God has promised to send himself into our midst. Last week we talked about God keeping his promises and some of the promises of Jesus coming. But if we don't recognize that Jesus was, in fact, God in our midst, God with us, that God has kept his promise to invade this world, to come in the form of a human being, to live a perfect, sinless life, that he could be our perfect sacrifice. If we do not recognize that Jesus was in fact God with us, then we have no basis for faith. There is no foundation for our understanding. Paul tells the Romans that if you don't believe that Christ raised from the dead, that your faith is in vain. Well, he had to be God in the first place. See, you go all through history. If this is just a child conceived out of wedlock, that if this baby is not God, then what are we celebrating for? If this baby is not God, what hope do we have? And realize some people, when they think of Jesus, the only image they have in their mind is the little baby. Other people, when they look at Jesus, the only image they have is him on the cross. But Jesus is God in the flesh, that he's sent to demonstrate who God is in our lives, who God is walking in this world. In John chapter 8, beginning with verse 23, John is talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he says, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world of the things which I heard from him." They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to him, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is in me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." Jesus told those standing around him that I've come from the Father, I've come from above. And you don't understand that now, but when you lift me up, when I'm raised up, when Jesus saying, when you have crucified me, you're going to understand that I am exactly who I said I was going to be. And that I don't do these things on my own, but the Father does them. The centurion at the foot of the cross said, "Surely this was the Son of God." come to recognize who Jesus was. So many people believed on Jesus' words, even those that didn't understand what He was saying, didn't understand how it could be, recognized that there was power in His words, that Jesus spoke in ways that other people around did not speak. He didn't act like the religious leaders. He talked about God's love. He said, "I have come to show you the Father." We're going to read that in just a few minutes. But Jesus came all through His life demonstrating God's love, demonstrating who God was as He dealt with the people around Him. And when He went to the marriage at Cana, you had a person who, you know, the story of the marriage of Cana, they ran out of wine. And that was a big faux pas. That was a big mistake. That was a big embarrassment for the host to have run out of wine. And Mary, his mother, said to him, "Help him." And Jesus says, "My time is not yet." And then Mary turned to the servants and said, "Whatever he says to do, do it." And you know the story, you know about the miracle where he turned the water into wine. Why did he do that? He was showing love, showing grace, showing mercy to somebody who on his wedding day, the wonderful day, was about to be very, very embarrassed. He showed grace and love and mercy. It's the same grace and love and mercy God shows to us. Not that we go through life without making mistakes, but we are bought with a price. Jesus died to pay the price for our sins. He could not do that were He not God. He could not restore life from death were He not God. Jesus was God with us, Emmanuel. We heard the prophecy in the Old Testament. Jesus lived out His life in front of people. And they said, "No one spoke like this man." Jesus healed the guy that was born blind. And the testimony was, "No one has ever cured someone who was born blind." Jesus raised the dead. There were other times in history that the dead was raised. You know that. But Jesus not just raised the guy who was just dead. Jesus raised Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days, saying, "Lord, by now he stinks." Restored him. Did things no one had ever done. Calmed the seas. In the Psalms it says, God is the one who calms the seas. Jesus spoke and the seas were calm. Jesus demonstrated who He was all through His life. Demonstrated that He was God. Remember when He was 12, they had gone to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And after the sacrifice, they were going home, Mary and Joseph with the family, heading home. And they had traveled a day and then realized that Jesus wasn't with them. And they went back. And they went looking for Him and they found Him in the temple. And finding Him in the temple, He says, "Why did you look for me? Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business?" You know, everybody forget, or a lot of people forget what the Bible says right after that. It's right after that, it says, and after that, He was subject to His parents. Remember one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the Lord, which the Lord thy God gives you. Demonstrating God's grace and God's love, even in being obedient to parents. Being righteous in every aspect of His life. Being without sin. God with us. In John 14, beginning with verse 6, Jesus talking again. Says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Jesus is declaring that I'm displaying the Father to you. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. How many times do we miss the things God is doing in our lives? How many times do we miss the way that God is working in a circumstance, working in a situation? Philip, walking with Jesus all those years, saying, Lord, show us. Show us the Father, and it's enough. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus said, even if you don't believe my words, believe what I'm doing in your midst. Believe what I'm doing around you. Believe the things that you've seen. When John the Baptist was in prison and he wasn't sure, he was having a time of doubt, and he sent his disciples to Jesus saying, are you the one who should come, or do we look for another? Jesus told him, go back and tell John the things you have seen. The blind are healed, the dead are raised, and the poor have salvation preached to them. The exact same things that God had said was going to happen. That lives are touched and lives are changed because God is in our midst. Jesus, when He walked on this earth, He walked on this earth to demonstrate the love of God to everyone. Jesus didn't rebuke the woman taken in adultery. He said, go and sin no more. The people Jesus rebuked were those who would stand and claim to be righteous and do everything for a show. The scribes and the Pharisees that would make their long prayers in the courtyard or make their long prayers in the temple or would go beating the gong to show that they were going to give money to the poor. Those were the people that Jesus rebuked. The ones who said that you travel the world over to find one convert and then you make him more of a child of hell than yourselves. You even pervert those people that you are trying to teach. That's the people Jesus rebuked. Still in John 14, go down to verse 19. Jesus said, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus, because he came, because he revealed God's grace, God's mercy, because he revealed who God was, demonstrated the love of God to the world, laid down his life to demonstrate God's love, was willing to be obedient to a death on the cross, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. When he rose, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. But because I go to my Father, I will send a comforter to you. And he will dwell in you and will tell you all those things about myself. The Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Again, is God with us? Even in this circumstances, even in this day. The Holy Spirit of God working inside of us, living inside of us. To lead us, to guide us, to teach us. That we are called to be examples and ambassadors to the world around us, that they might see that God is real. Jesus came as God with us, Emmanuel, and His Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, that we might show the world around us the grace and love and mercy of God. Forgiving those who have done things to us. Showing grace and mercy to those who desperately need it. Reaching out to those who are in need. Not condemning, yet guiding people toward truth by living it out, by displaying it in our lives. Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. God fulfills His word. God fulfilled the promise that He'd made in the garden, all the way up through Scripture. All through the Old Testament, there are references to the coming Messiah. All through Scripture, in the Psalms, in the Proverbs, in the prophets, old and the minor and the major prophets, all through the Scripture, God is saying, I'm going to send a deliverer. I'm going to send a Savior. Even in the book of Job, Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. He had that faith, even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of everything Job was going through. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. God has shown Himself faithful in your life and in my life. God has shown Himself faithful in this world. This is a time where the world celebrates the birth of Jesus. I say, and I continue to say, that this is something we should celebrate every day. The birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because they are all declaring the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to show His love to the people around us. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You, Lord, that You have sent Emmanuel, that You have walked on this earth as a human being in the form of Jesus Christ, that the second member of the Godhead, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, dwelt among men, displaying who the Father is by His actions, by His words, by His demeanor, by everything that He did, showing Your love, showing Your grace. We thank You that You have proven Yourself to be faithful time and time and time again. While we are faithless, You are faithful. So, Father, we give praise for that. We do thank You, Lord, for this reminder, once again, this time of remembrance, that You sent Yourself, You sent God with us to walk in this world, to be our Savior, to be our guide, and to teach us. And we thank You that You have not left us comfortless, but You have sent Your Holy Spirit to teach us and to lead us. So, Father, we thank You for the work that You have done in our hearts and in our lives. And we thank You, Lord, that You who began the good work are faithful to complete it. You are at work each and every day in our circumstances. We thank You. We give You all glory in Jesus' name. Amen.